Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Nerdcore Podcast, the podcast that reviews the movies and talks that nerd shit. This is episode 604, and it is your review of There Will Be Blood. As always, this is the Nerd Chicano here to host the show. That's my wonderful co-host, Brad Young Yoda.
Sup, sup, everybody. Welcome to a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful bloody Tuesday.
Tuesday?
On a Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday, mate.
Yeah, I don't even know why I have this, recording, on here. It should be live. I don't even know why we're doing it on Patreon, but it's okay. This will go up on Wednesday for people now. But we're a little bit late with our review of There Will Be Blood, but
there was a storm. Never.
There was a storm.
Storm.
Yep.
And you wouldn't have been able to hear me with that wind.
No. But Brad did get to watch the movie, so still what he needed to do yesterday, what he needed to do today, he got done yesterday.
Yep.
So glad we're still on the ball there. And I got the movie done too, Brad. So
yeah, we watched it at the same time. Not in the same room, but at the same time.
Same time. I don't know if that would have been a movie that we can watch together.
I'd rather not. This one we could watch together.
Yeah.
The next one, a little awkward.
Yeah, but Brad, how are you doing?
I don't know. It's been a day. Went to work. Did work. Came back home. Tired. Constantly tired.
Me too.
I'm going to work out after this, though. So I'm going to go lift heavy shit.
That's good. Got to get back into that.
I need to get back on cardio, honestly. Yeah. I just want to go lift heavy shit right now.
Yeah. I went to work and... Yeah, it's also just talking tired and just, I don't know, man. I just wanted, I was like, okay, I got to go do this. I'm also kind of hungry right now, but I'm going to wait until I finish doing this. So, yeah, I was like, okay, I got to do this. So let's go ahead and do this shit. Even though I really want to talk about this movie because I had never seen this movie.
You've never seen this movie?
No. Only know that I drink your milkshake.
That's because I always fucking say it.
Yeah.
I drink your milkshake, bro.
But I've always heard that, like, Paul Dano is amazing in this movie. I heard that Daniel Day-Lewis, of course, is amazing in this movie. And I've always heard that, like, it's one of Paul Thomas Anderson's best movies, but I still prefer Boogie Nights, but that's just, you know.
It's because Mark Wahlberg shows his insanely long schlong.
Prosthetics.
Yeah, that's definitely not Mark Wahlberg's.
No, that's prosthetic.
Mark Wahlberg is, like, probably got, like, I got all those underwear ads back in the day. Yeah. Couldn't have a schlong hiding in there.
Yeah. But I'm glad that your day went well, Brad. I'm glad that we're both just finally home and be able to relax and do this. But of course, like I said, y'all, this is a month that we've been doing to just catch up on stuff. So today we're going to be talking about There Will Be Blood. And then on Thursday for the public, you're going to get Shame. But for now, whoever's here live and early, you're watching it and you're listening to it because you're on a Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore at the $1 tier. You get access to this episode live and early so you can interact with us. Like, I believe Stacy's in here at the moment, but he's not commenting anything. There he is. Yeah, you can put comments like this because Stacy is in the comments right now because he's a patron and he gets to watch his live. Well, they did give Lewis a prosthetic oil in this film just to keep with tradition.
I'm pretty sure there was some stuff that was prosthetic or fake when it fell in on top of people.
Oh, yeah.
Because that shit would have hurt.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and just start talking about this. So without further ado, Brad, let's go ahead and do this. So if you have not watched There Will Be Blood, this is your chance to get out of here if you care about spoilers. But if you don't care about spoilers, then You can go ahead and stay here. Either way, how any of that goes, this is your first, your one and only spoiler warning. And it is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, I'm pretty sure that it played right because I can't hear
it. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. All right, Brad, introduce them to Paul Thomas Anderson's There Will Be Blood.
All right, coming from our one and only source, Wikipedia. There Will Be Blood is a 2007 American period drama film written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, loosely based on the 1927 novel Oil by Upton Sinclair. That's Oil with the exclamation point. That's why I said it like that. It stars Daniel Day-Lewis and Wikipedia, it's Sir Daniel Michael Blake Day-Lewis to you. I'm just saying. Yeah. As Daniel Plainview, get it right, a silver miner turned oil man on a ruthless quest for wealth during Southern California's oil boom of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Paul Dano, Kevin J. O'Connor, Kieran Hines, and Dylan Fraser co-star. The film was produced by Gulardi Film Company and distributed by Paramount Vantage and Miramax Films. Yes, that Miramax Films, we will not discuss that more. At the 2008 Berlin International Film Festival, it won the Silver Bear Award for Best Director and a Special Artistic Contribution Award for Johnny Greenwood's score. It grossed $76.2 million worldwide on a $25 million budget. You know, they never usually say who does the score, at least in the main page. Here.
So that's some serious shit.
That's some serious shit when your fucking name gets put on Wikipedia in here.
Yeah.
There Will Be Blood received acclaim for its cinematography, Anderson's direction and screenplay, score, and the performances of Day-Lewis and Dano. Day-Lewis won the Academy Award, BAFTA, Golden Globe, Screen Actors Guild, NYFCC, and IFTA Best Leading Actor Awards for the role. It has been widely regarded by critics as one of the greatest films of the 21st century, and appeared on many critics' top 10 lists for 2007, including the American Film Institute, the National Society of Film Critics, the National Board of Review, and the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. At the 80th Academy Awards, the film was nominated for 8 Oscars, tying with another Miramax Paramount Vantage co-production, No Country for Old Men. The nominations included Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Adapted Screenplay for Anderson, along with Day-Lewis's Oscar for Best Actor. Robert Elswit won the award for Best Cinematography. And I think it's gone basically through all these names. Edited by Dylan Titchener. Music, of course, by Johnny Greenwood. Cinematography, Robert Elswit, as it said. Running time of 158 minutes. It's pretty long, like a 2 hour and 30 something.
238. Yeah.
Budget of $25 million. That's kind of crazy. Box office, $76.2 million.
Whew. Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking awards, yo.
Look, man. And also...
I didn't choose a non-heard of movie in this case. I didn't know you hadn't seen it, though. That's
I never seen honest. This, right?
Yeah.
Never seen this.
So I think you should go first, then.
Well, I'd like to also remind y'all that Johnny Greenwood isn't a composer, like... straight up composer, like he didn't start composing. That man was part of Radiohead.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. He was part of Radiohead.
Well, is it Radiohead, they do scores, and then Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Trent Reznor does scores.
Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Yeah, they do scores. You know?
They're Nine Inch Nails and now they do scores, bro.
Yeah, the rockers. So when rockers get old, they pivot.
Yeah.
Like Maynard Keenan pivoted wine, Trent Reznor and Johnny Greenwood pivoted to soundtracks.
Yeah. Scores. So I had never seen this film before.
That's surprising.
I had
you see how many awards this
Brad,
thing has.
I feel like this month should be called Why Haven't We Done This Director Month? Because like this Kubrick? Can be brought up about Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
Why the fuck haven't we done a Paul Thomas Anderson?
I don't know. Same reason we haven't done a Kubrick.
Like we
probably because the movies are pretty long, and we've been known to see a 2 hour plus movie and go, not today.
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson's movies do usually like are like mostly on the longer side. Like,
yeah, but the man's pretty fucking good.
Punch Drunk Love is like an hour and 35 though, but
that's the Adam Sandler one, right?
Yeah, that's the Adam Sandler one. Like, but you know, Inherent Vice is, yeah, Inherent Vice is 2 hours and 20. His movies are kind of long, so I get it, but also, like, dude, I put this on and I was like, okay, let's see what this is all about, because I've been hyped this movie from the ends of the earth. In that case, it's just a matter of time before Ozzy Osbourne scores a Disney film. Yeah, of course.
I mean, I'd watch that.
I would too, Brad. I would too.
War pigs up too. In there. Yeah.
Yeah. And Brad, I have to say, this movie's fucking amazing, bro. Like, score is exceptional. Cinematography's fucking beautiful.
Got my De Niro face on, like,
yeah. And then just when you strip it down to, like, you know, stuff like performances, Lewis and Daniel are fucking giving a putting on a goddamn clinic.
And you see how young Dano is in there?
Yeah.
Because we always bring up Dano, like, Riddler Dano. And then this is just like, he can't be much older than his 20s.
Yeah. And Brad, this is 2 hours and 38 minutes, and this flew by for me so well. Like, I never once felt that this was taking too long.
And you know what's funny about that? And this is either my second or third. I think it might be my third time watching this. The first 20 minutes of this movie have no dialogue.
No.
There's no dialogue. It's all just what's on the screen and a very great score. And that's the first 20 of the minutes of the movie. And it's fucking ridiculous. It, like, you don't see that really in movies without, you know, some pacing issue with that.
Yeah. And it's just, dude, like, he's just so, like, this movie's so fucking good, bro. Like, it doesn't lose me.
I watch this. And as I'm watching this near the end, I'm like, did Daniel Day-Lewis retire? And then I'm like, he did retire. And I'm like, that fucking bastard.
Yeah, he retired with Phantom Thread, which was another Paul Thomas Anderson film that we haven't done a review.
Yeah, and just watching this, it just made me kind of sad, because I'm like, Daniel Day-Lewis is probably one of the best modern actors of our time.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, like, I always put him up there because, like, I've seen Lincoln. And, like, that was the one that he also won the fucking Oscar for.
I still haven't seen Lincoln, because that's like a 3-hour movie, right?
Dude, it's fucking good, though. God damn, is that movie fucking good. But, like, dude, he's up there with me with Brando. I think that he's possibly the greatest actor of all time. He's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And in this movie, he fucking embodies that character so well, dude. Like, from the get-go, he just is locked in. And you see it with, like, the mannerisms and with the way that he, like, reads these lines, but just also the way you see him interacting with the kid.
Yeah, this is such a complicated character too. Like, when you hear oil tycoon, your first instinct is to hate that man. To be honest,
yeah,
you know, that's just what your instinct is, because he's supposed to be a horrible man. And there's this moment of he's greedy. He is. He's an oil tycoon. He's a businessman. He's greedy. But there's those moments and instances when he's dealing with a child that isn't his.
Yeah.
That he basically, I mean, at the end of it, like, towards the end of it, I think he's going a little crazy. But he literally saves this child, because this child had just been out in the desert after the father had passed away. And he raises this child. And for the most part, it's not bad. I mean, you know, it's a very dangerous, you know, working conditions, but that was the oil back in the day. And he tries his damnedest for sure. I mean, he kind of fails there when he sins, because he doesn't know what to do with his
son.
He's
a shit father, though.
In some instances, but, like, if you're put in that situation and your child becomes suddenly deaf, in whatever year this was, 1920s or 1890s to 1920s,
where fucking accessibility is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, like, there's no teaching that. There's barely any schools. He's literally building schools in these places and churches and shit as he looks for oil. So, yeah, he sends his child off to, you know, at least learn sign language. And is it a shit thing to do? Kind of. I mean, but I understand, because there's no way for, like, you see this, that the communication he has with his son just stops.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he can, like, and it's just really frustrating for him.
And that's kind of what strips away at him. And that's what kind of, like, sends him down the spiraling path of, like, that you don't even recognize this man anymore by the end of the movie.
Yeah. He kind of loses himself, and basically, from what, like, his one salvation was his son, and he kind of, after that incident, kind of treads away. But it doesn't help that the church there is run by basically, you know, a backwater preacher who is just, you know, fucking hamming it up.
Yeah, which, like, God, Dano is just... He's incredible, Brad. So,
that's why it's funny, because you look at the oil tycoon and, like, oh, I'm supposed to hate that guy, but you don't end up hating that guy.
I hate
because
Dano.
Dano's there making you hate him more.
It's like in the moment that he tells that lady, like, I will fuck the holy, like, the, what's it called, the bad spirits out of you, and, like,
yeah,
like, and I hate this guy, and you know that he's conning these people.
And you look, you know, you look at Daniel Day-Lewis. And yeah, there's a little bit of just, yeah, very conflicted, very complicated man. But you look at Dano and you go, this dude's evil. This dude's just straight up, like, he's supposed to be holy and religious and have and gathering his flock and having them. But, like, he's truly just fucking horrible. And I just love the end where Daniel Day-Lewis says, you know, your brother was the smart one. It's like he just eats into Dano at that.
Yeah, but man, I mean, this movie's so good, Brad. I it's just like, especially the ending, Brad. Like, I was kind of waiting, like, when's the I Drink Your Milkshake gonna come
right
up?
Right,
like,
at the end.
But it's the end, and it's just, but that has to be one of the most tense scenes ever in that.
That's
film,
some of
though.
The best dialogue,
and the way that they frame it too is just, oh my god, so good. And
the lighting specifically in that scene, and you, it's funny. Because the way it looks, at least in that scene, you don't know you're in a bowling alley.
No, you don't know. You don't know.
The way they frame it, at least in that scene, you don't know you're in a bowling alley until, boom, they're going and there's bowling pins being thrown at Dano.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I wonder if Dano knew, like, Daniel Day-Lewis was going to start throwing bowling pins at him. Because Dano looked pretty scared, because... Did you see that that first one whip into the wall and just break the wall open?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people know, like, so Daniel Day-Lewis is a method actor. He takes this stuff very seriously. And
Daniel looks scared as shit.
There are method actors who do method to just act like an asshole and stuff. But I truly believe that Daniel Day-Lewis...
Jared Leto.
Goes, yeah.
Sorry.
I truly believe that Jared Leto goes method... I believe that Daniel Day-Lewis goes method to achieve something that, you know, not a lot of actors can achieve. And to be honest, like, I wholeheartedly believe that. And, you know, I know that people, you know, because recently there's been this, like, wave of people who just, you know, say, like, oh, method acting is stupid and it's, like, not a real thing and stuff. And, like, but I don't know, man. When Daniel Day-Lewis can bring that out of it, I feel like there's something to it.
And yeah, there's some, I think there's some who have to stay in that role. I mean, there's some who take it a little too far, Heath Ledger being one of them, but see what Heath Ledger did? Heath Ledger did amazing things on screen, but it followed him off the screen, which is the bad part. Yeah. So I think that's what you have to be careful of. You don't get so lost into your character, it follows you off the screen.
Yeah.
And I mean, even in television, they have some who are very great method actors, at least on the screen, like Succession had a few of them who stayed in that character. Yeah. The whole time they were shooting.
Yeah. But man, what a great movie. Excellent direction from Paul Thomas Anderson. And like I said, it's just, dude, it just has some great stuff, man. Just like
it's some beautiful shots. Just the Derek on fire.
Just
Jesus. And what's great is a lot of those scenes, they cut out any of the background sound and they just have the score on there. With these visuals, and it's like, holy fuck. the tension, yeah. The tension is just, holy God. I mean, good for Johnny Greenwood on that.
Yeah, what a score. My God. And also for a movie that has the title, There Will Be Blood, like when the blood is actually there, like, oh my God, it is so impactful.
Well, and then the double entendre of blood for oil or blood money or oil, and you know. So I mean, great title, honestly.
But it's also really interesting the way that he kind of like depicts that, and like he shows like this is how this like multi-billion dollar industry like started. So Lewis didn't give Bano the Defile bowling pins before filming.
No, Jesus Christ.
No, he did not. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Thank you, Stacey.
But yeah, man, like, I just love the way that, like, this movie's at the heart of it. It's like, it's a movie about about somebody who knows himself too much that he's willing to manipulate people. Somebody who doesn't know himself that much, and he's insecure about himself as a father. He's insecure himself about as like a tycoon. But, you know, this.
The thing is in the 18 or the 1900s, early 1900s, late 1800s, it's fucking hell.
Yeah.
And they literally show this man starting off mining for silver, I think.
Yeah.
And falling down, breaking his leg, and he still makes it to whoever's measuring the silver in order to get paid. That gives you the idea of who this guy is. This guy is going to work and work and work until he has a massive fortune. And he is a very competitive individual. And that comes out when his adult son says, I'm going to start my own company like you taught me and go into Mexico. And, you know, most fathers, they want that. They want their sons to succeed, be better than him.
But he's greedy, bro. He's greedy. Well,
it's that competitive nature.
Yeah.
There's the greed aspect to it too, but there's the competitive nature of you're trying to kill what I built. And before you even get anything into the ground, I will destroy you. That's the way, especially the old school business thinking minds thought.
Yeah. And I love that, man, because like, you know, where we see this film doesn't end with like where the oil industry is now, but like you can see it as also like a metaphor of like this business, bro, because look at it now. It's such a greedy business that is sacrificing our planet.
It sacrifices the planet, the people. And you can tell he goes into these towns with this spiel and with his cute kid behind him. Yeah. And he goes and he gobbles up their land in order to pillage the oil that's under it. And I love the whole Dano coming to him at the end and being like, look, there's 1,000 acres that you haven't dug yet and, you know, pumped the oil out of. And he doesn't understand how that business worked. And Day-Lewis just breaks him with each like sentence. And it's great because you're supposed to hate Dano. Dano is the classic religious preacher who's, you know, a fake, a phony, a fraud. And so you kind of end up on the business, the oil tycoon side in this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because then you're just going to end up like siding with this con man who's just absolute piece of shit.
And at least from Daniel Day-Lewis, at least he's honest. At least he's honest on who he is, on what he is, even if that thing may not be great.
Yep. Well, man, it's an incredible movie. I'm glad I finally scratched this off my watch list, because this has been a gap in my journey of watching movies, and I want to just watch more from Paul Thomas Anderson. But my God, this is one of my favorite.
I really like this movie. I could have this in the background just for score.
Yeah, and I love Johnny Greenwood. I've never seen Phantom Thread, Brad, but I listen to that Phantom Thread score so much because Johnny Greenwood is that fucking good.
I might have to watch Phantom Thread. I've never seen Phantom Thread.
Yeah. It's the last Daniel Day-Lewis performance. So like I said, this is just one of my favorite performances in a movie ever. But without further ado, Brad, let's go ahead and go into the final verdict. What is your final verdict on There Will Be Blood?
I'm giving it a 10 out of 10. I love this movie. It's an absolute gem. And watching it a second or third time, I realize why I like it so much. It doesn't get worse when I watch it.
I think rewatches will cement this as a 10 for me. But for now, because I like Boogie Nights a little more, and I think that it's a way better film, I'm going to go ahead and go 9.75 out of 10, Brad.
I'm not quite of that opinion. I think Boogie Nights had some pacing issues personally.
Bro, that movie's just fucking incredible, Brad. Like,
you just like Mark Wahlberg's prosthetic limb.
No, I don't like Mark Wahlberg's prosthetic limb. But I think a rewatch will probably cement this as a 10. Right now, as my first feeling, as I'm getting out of it from yesterday, having watched it, is a 9.75 for me. And I cannot wait until this finally hits 4K because it's coming. And I think this movie's going to...
4K going to look good. It already looked good. So I don't... Yeah. Like, 4K is just going to be stunning.
Yeah. This is going to look fantastic, Brad. And I'm so excited, man. This movie deserves it. And I hope this leads to more of his work coming to 4K. Because his work is just so good. So good. Well, with that said, that concludes our review of There Will Be Blood. We want to thank you all so much for joining us. As always, you can follow along with us at thenerdcore.com, Twitter at @thenerdcore_, Instagram at @thenerdcore, patreon.com/thenerdcore. For $1 a month, you get this episode live and early before anybody else gets to watch it. Y'all, I hope y'all know, We give you all that $1 tier out of just pure love for you all. We don't make money at all from that $1 tier. Y'all could be, all of y'all could just, what's it called, join that $1 tier. We wouldn't make anything from that. That is just there for you all. So that way you all have something to get at the base tier and get this episode live and early for y'all. So go and check that out. Check out the description for our Discord link. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a like, subscribe to the channel, click that notification bell so you don't miss a single piece of content that drops on the channel. Also, make sure if you're listening to this on audio, make sure that you go ahead and leave a 5-star review. It would help us out a lot. And with that said, we also want to thank our patrons because without them, it's not possible. Brad, where can they find our producer, Shane?
You follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/XSRK or on Twitter at @thriftedIL or go buy something from the Suppy God at prisoncityvintage.com.
Damn straight. And with that said, Brad, we will see them on Thursday. Well, on Thursday, live and early on Patreon for our review of Shame, but on Saturday for everybody else who's not a patron. So, without further ado, Brad, let's go ahead and get him out of here.
All right, our own thing being host as always. Thank you to Stacy for joining us in chat today. Thank you to our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And to end this episode, I'll just say, I'm finished. Young Yoda out. And never ask when do we get our money, Daniel.